Notes got closed. I had to open it back up. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 23 is where I'd like to turn your attention. Thank you for standing. God is all the way good. I mean, all of the time. Amen. Luke chapter 23, beginning at verse 24, it says this. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired. But he delivered Jesus to their will. Now, excuse me, verse 26. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, that's North African, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. My topic today is the unexpected cross. Amen. I pray that the Lord would speak to us today. Would you pray with me? Lord, I know, Lord, that your word is already anointed, Lord, that the things that are given to us by your word, they are for us today. I pray, Lord, that you would quicken my mind, Lord, that you would put words in my mouth, Lord, that you would open our hearing, God, that, Lord, that your word, that this example, Lord, would touch our hearts today. I pray and ask in the name of Jesus for your will to be accomplished. Thank you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. The crucifixion of Jesus, it was a both historic and terrible and wonderful event all at one time. There is so much mixed up in that crucifixion of Jesus. It was in that day, and in the days following the crucifixion, and even up until and in our day today, we live in a messed up world. And that's saying it lightly. I came across this writing. It was written in the year 177 AD. There were thousands gathered into a Colosseum. It was Festa time in the arena in Lyons. The sport that they were enjoying that day, it was the killing of criminals, of runaway slaves, and of Christians. A historical letter from a local church to a sister church that was in Turkey. It tells of this. I'm only going to read a short little clip of it because it goes into way more detail than I care to share today. It starts out like this. The governor had the blessed ones form a procession for the enjoyment of the crowd. Maturus, then Sancticus, then Bellinia, and Aurelius were led to face the lions in the amphitheater. Then it goes on, the virgin Bellina, after the whips and the lions and the iron chair. And let me stop there. It goes into way more detail than I care to dictate today. But in short, they were murdered before a crowd. They were put to death in horrific and terrible ways as a form of entertainment in a Colosseum in their day. The Emperor Claudius, he was so hooked on the violence of that arena that he ordered the soldiers to turn the mutilated faces of the Christians toward him so that he could enjoy the final moments of agony in their lives. It's hard for me to even comprehend what took place in those days. The stadium, it was filled to capacity. The crowd roared louder than the lions as Melina and those fellow believers, those saints, if you will, were led to their death. Just ordinary, law-abiding citizens of Rome, of their current society, they had purchased a ticket for the entertainment in the Colosseum. It wasn't against the law. They were just going for the show. You think perhaps that we as a society have risen above what they cheered about in that Colosseum. Well, you may well be mistaken. Our society enjoys that type of entertainment piped into our homes by way of television or cable TV, or even more often today, the internet. Such graphic violence is readily available, much more available today than it was back then. Make believe, some would say, oh, it's only Hollywood. It's not real. Maybe that's true. But it is still graphic and horrific. Experts say, by the end of elementary school, the average American child will see over 8,000 screen murders. Over 100,000 acts of violence. And not to mention the immoral sexual encounters that are readily shown in our media today. Just make believe? Not so. I tell you, it is forming the mindset of our society. It is affecting our society. If you consume it, if you enjoy it, it will affect you. It will change your mindset to be hardened, to be cold, to be accepting of those horrific, graphic, terrible, horrible things that are done or portrayed in those depictions. So much for our society's superiority over the Romans. Our culture today is a train wreck that is going off the rails. By force of momentum, and we are just following after the terrible things that have, they are pulling us off the rail, they are tearing us apart, they are forming in us ungodly acceptance of a society that has gone astray. When Jesus drew close to the time of his calling, the Bible says, Acts chapter 8, verse 32, the place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. You know, Jesus was blameless. He was guiltless. He was the only man that had ever been born, who had ever lived without sin. And yet, it's just so amazing that Jesus never attacked anyone. Yet, when it was all done, when his life was over, he was victorious over death, over hell, over Satan, over sin, over the grave. He provided, he showed us what victory is like. Amen. He tried to prepare the disciples for what was yet right before them, what was ahead of them. After all, you see, the disciples, they had left all. They had left behind all their living and their lives that they would follow Jesus. They had left everything that they might become a part of Jesus' ministry. They had cast their lots, if you will, with Christ. In Matthew chapter 16, verse number 20. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, to be killed and to be raised again the third day. You see, he began to expound unto them those things that were yet to come, what was to happen unto him. You know, and they didn't like it. Peter spoke out the following verse 22. Then Peter took him. He grabs Jesus by the shoulders. It doesn't say that in Scripture, but he took him. It does say that. And he began to rebuke him. Can you imagine rebuking Jesus? Not a good idea. And he began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." Oh, we're going to stop it from happening. We're going to keep it from... we're going to not let them do this to you. Verse number 23, but he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." He thought he was doing a good thing, right? He was in his flesh and he thought, "We're going to defend you. We're going to stop this from... this is not going to be so." You know, I can see in my own flesh me doing something stupid. Maybe you would, you know, lash out and say, "No, it can't be so. Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Jesus has such a different way of thinking than man does. His ways are higher than our ways. You know, we think because of our flesh, because of our human nature, because of our weaknesses, we think carnally sometimes. But God has higher ways than our ways. You see, Lucifer was blind. He did not see what Jesus was doing. All he could do was pour out his rage of violence and hatred on Jesus. He must be stopped. We cannot allow him to go forward. Satan was acting through those demon-possessed men that carried out the plan of Satan. Actually, it was God's plan that was unfolding. And Satan had no idea what he was doing. They beat him. He endured such contradiction of sins. He was guiltless, and yet he was accused of a death sentence. Satan did not understand that every lash, every cord on that whip, every strike, every blow, every bad thing that they were doing to Jesus was fulfilling the plan of God. By His stripes, we are healed. It is by His blood that we are redeemed. His ways are so much higher than our ways. The cross was a contradiction that was beyond the comprehension of Satan. Satan couldn't even understand what he was doing. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom. Sometimes we don't even understand what God is doing. A lot of times. Let's leave it right there. Which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Which none of the princes of this world knew. None of the devils. None of the religious elite. None of the priests. None of the government officials. None of the attackers or soldiers, none of them understood what was going on. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They were in fact fulfilling the plan of God that Jesus Christ would lay down willingly His life as a sacrifice for sin. It was and is the plan of God. You see, you don't want to play chess with God. His ways, His moves, way outdo ours, right? Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Then said Jesus unto His disciples, if any man will come after Me, get this now, listen. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. Now what is that saying? What does it mean? How can I comprehend what the Word tells me? It tells me that cross-bearing is not, someone say not. Cross-bearing is not optional. Take up his cross. Deny himself. Take up his cross and follow Me. It's a clear direction. When you become a saint, when you choose to follow Jesus Christ, you are called away from your old identities, from the old ways of sinful life, of our old habits and friends, of our old lifestyle. I'm called out of that. I'm called to a higher plane. Old things are passed away and all things are become new when I am in Jesus Christ. There's a big difference between coming to church and being in the church. Amen. Man, it's easy to come to church. There's a whole bunch of people that are going to church today. But are you, are they, are we as a society in the church, the body of Christ? There's a big difference. We need to understand what the difference is. Sometimes we see sin, even hypocrisy, even in the church. Yeah, there's humans in the church, and humans make mistakes. But you know what? Humans can repent. Humans can get right with God. Just because you may trip up, you may fall down, you may do something stupid, you might make a mistake. In fact, things are going to happen. We need to get back right with God. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning there at verse number 9. Don't let the weaknesses of people's flesh detract from your walk with God. Just because somebody else falls in the ditch doesn't mean that you have to follow them. If you're following a blind person and you're blind also, both of you are going to fall in the ditch. And you need to find a way to see the spiritual light. Find Jesus Christ. Let me go to Scripture. Listen, God is not mocked. Just because somebody falls short doesn't mean that everybody in the church is bad. Amen. But everybody in the church was bad. But we can come to God. It's a wonderful thing. 1 Corinthians 6, beginning at verse number 9. Let me go to Scripture. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators nor idolaters. You know what idolatry, putting anything before God, anything more important than God is idolatry? Nothing is more important than God. Nothing. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. I'm going to read on from verses 10 and 11, but let me pause for just a moment. The sin in the world wants to convince the whole world that sin is okay. A man is a man and should not act like a woman. A woman is a woman, not a man. God does not make mistakes. The sin in our world wants to convince particularly our young people, that it's a choice. It is not a choice. You are a man or a woman. You cannot be both. You cannot be either. You are one or the other. Now, this is recorded, and they're going to put this on the internet. You know, I may be hated because I'm saying this. But do not believe the lie from hell. It will bring your soul to damnation. I have to say this. I have to tell it. I have to declare it. You see, I will one day stand before God for those things that I say over the pulpit. I've got to say the truth. I've got to tell you about Jesus. And I got to tell you of His ways. I got to tell you of the cross. I've got to preach it all just like the Word says. There's no room for gray matter. It's right or it's wrong. I don't even know how to explain what I'm feeling right now. But I tell you, Jesus is God. There is no other God but Him. Amen. Verse number 10. Well, verse number 9. No effeminate. No abusers of themselves with mankind. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. I agree. We were like that. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. When I was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, my sins were paid for by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of Jesus Christ. When I spoke in tongues and received the infilling of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of our God came upon me. And there is something supernaturally powerful in the Holy Ghost. I forget. It was one of our dearly beloved pastors that was, and I'm deterring from my notes, but, you know, Apostolic Pentecostals, in particularly my closely loved brethren in the United Pentecostal Church. You know, we love to preach about the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is so many things. Yes, it gives me, you know, it gives me the presence of God in my life. It gives me direction. It gives me hope. It gives me strength. It gives me, you know, all these wonderful attributes that God gives me when through the power of the Holy Ghost. But when you look at Scripture, what does the Holy Ghost give you? Power. Power to be a witness. I can overcome that fleshly desire because God gave me the Holy Ghost. We got to have the power of God in our lives that we might be able to overcome the weaknesses of the flesh. Without the Holy Ghost working in your life, you are subject to carnality in your flesh. Praise God. You are a saint of God, or you are not. We live in such a sin-drenched, I mean, it is saturated. Our society is saturated with sin. You don't have to go look for it. And you cannot hide from it. It's impossible in our day. You cannot hide from sin. Sin will find you. You don't even have to go looking for it. You just live life in our society and it will jump upon you. It will pull you in the wrong direction. We live in the information age. But that great readiness, readily available information, contains so much graphic, horrible, terrible stuff that will taint your soul against God. Unprecedented access to sinful and lewd and graphically terrible things are available just in your pocket, on your device, in your home. It's everywhere. So often people come to church, but are we in the true body of Christ? I'm asking hard questions. Man, I'm like, hope you got steel-toed shoes on today. Man, because I'm stomping all over the place. There's only one way. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow Him. You will not make it to heaven without Jesus Christ. Without a walk with God. Without denying yourself. And it was in our elements class this morning. We talked about a lot of things, and we enjoy talking in elements class, but one little thing, I can't get into all that what we talked about, but the grace of God is sufficient to save you. You mean that the grace of God would forgive you if you're a murderer? I mean, the grace of God would forgive you if you're an adulterer? If you know, you're all in sin? Yep. God's grace is that great. You mean all of that? Well, when you obey. You got to obey Acts 2:38. You got to obey the word of the Lord. You got to repent of your sins. You got to be baptized in Jesus' name. You need to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You got to walk this life. You got to deny yourself and pick up your cross and follow Jesus. Through the water and the Spirit baptisms, we have been empowered. The Holy Ghost has given us power in our lives to overcome, to be a witness. But we must deny ourselves. Abstain. Don't do things that are of the world. If you want to follow Jesus, you better look good on wood. Amen. Deny yourself. Now, this is a book. It's been out a long time. It's called The Book of Virtues. It was written by Bill Bennett. This author of this Book of Virtues, he's recorded as losing over $1 million in gambling. Most were hesitant to criticize the man. You see, gambling's not illegal. We live in New London County where there are two of the world's largest casinos on earth. New London. It's more available than most places. And it is legal. It's not against the law. They often say, hey, he didn't claim to be a saint. But that is what a Christian is called to be. We are called to be saints. Just because something is legal doesn't make it right. I'm above age 21. It's legal for me to walk down to the liquor store and buy a fifth of whiskey and drink the whole thing. But I ain't going to do it. Absolutely not. There's lots of things that are legal that are not right. And we in our Christian walk need to identify right from wrong. Our culture has an increasing addiction to gambling. We as a society, there's people, I remember at work this last week, they were talking about the guy that sat in the cubicle nearby. He won some money in the lottery. And you know what? You know, they don't talk about what they lost gambling. They only talk about the one time that they won. It's It's a waste. It's a deception. It turns our life to sin. People dream about winning the lottery. Why don't you dream about going to heaven? Why don't you think about the good things of God? Amen. What about hard work and sacrifice? They were once considered virtues in our society. Don't trust in success by chance. Know who God is and do what He says. Amen. When Jesus offered them to come after, when Jesus offered them to come after Him, follow me, He didn't promise them earthly success and wealth and power. But some, there were some that assumed because that they knew that He is the King of the Jews, that they assumed that He would overthrow the Roman government on earth. You know, the conceptions of men are messed up. Jesus didn't come to wage a physical war against the Romans. He came to win the souls of men, of all mankind, forever. That Roman government, I'm not worried about Roman government. I've come for the souls of men, mankind, of all time. His ways are way higher than our ways. Jesus, He lived a relatively short life. You know, He started His ministry around 30 and about 3.5 years. And, you know, He lived less than half of the life of a righteous man, you know, 60, 70. He didn't even make it to 35. Relatively short life. From a small, insignificant town. His message was confined to a small segment of the population. His disciples were often slow to learn and quick to doubt. All right, raise your hand. No. So he so infuriated the religious hierarchy of his day. He got them, the religious people, so mad at Him. They were furious. They were so incensed against Him that they arrested Him. They tortured Him. They mocked Him. They beat Him. They killed Him. They were so mad at Him. Yet, this man, Jesus Christ, is the embodiment of human success. His ways are way higher than our ways. Because His life in ministry followed the God-ordained path. Jesus in His flesh obeyed the Spirit. He was not conformed to the world, but He came to transform those that are in the world to be like Him. He did the will of God. We are so busy chasing the American view of success in our society. In John chapter 18, verse number 37, we'll read a few places in Scripture. Pilate therefore said unto Him, "Art thou the king, or art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end I was born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Do you understand? Do you see who Jesus is in Scripture? Do you understand who He really is? That He is the mighty God? John chapter 9 and verse number 4. I must work the works of Him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. We got to hurry up and do what God gave us to do. It's time right now to live for God. You don't have time to wait for later. Live for God right now. Matthew 26 and verse 39. And He went a little further and fell on His face and prayed, saying, Oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. The flesh that was in the Lord Jesus Christ, the flesh of His human nature, He didn't want to be murdered. He didn't want to go through the terrible events He knew were going to happen. He didn't want in His flesh that to take place. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt. You know, there's sometimes we really I really want something. You better pray about it. What does God say? What does the Holy Ghost that's in you say? It wasn't about gathering temporal things. It was about impacting eternal things. He told His disciples, don't worry about carrying a purse or your wallet, your money. Don't worry about those carnal things. Don't worry about your script. You know, I make notes up ahead of time. But you know what? God can put words in your mouth to say just the right thing at the right time. Amen. Don't worry about the shoes. Don't worry about those things. Just stay focused on His purpose. Jesus began talking about a cross long before He was ever sentenced to one. You got to make up your mind. I choose to be a Christian. I choose to live like this. After they had beaten Him mercilessly, He still had to carry His own cross. Thorns pressed into His scalp. Wounds on His body, on His back. He was beaten near to death. And then they put a cross on Him, made Him carry it up the hill called Calvary, Golgotha. And he bare it. He carried that cross as far as His flesh was able to carry it. He had to carry His own death pole up that cross, up that hill. The cross was on Him as they were leading Him to His death. Until he had no more strength within Him. He couldn't carry it anymore in His flesh. Luke chapter 23, verse number 26. I've read it at the beginning of this opening text. And as they led Him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian. He was a North African person coming out of the country. And on him they laid the cross. Took the man out of the crowd. He didn't come there to carry the cross. He didn't come there to take part in the crucifixion. He didn't come there for that purpose. But they grabbed them, they took them, and they put the cross that Jesus had upon him. They laid on him the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. There is no doubt that Simon was at least a casual observer. He was watching the events of the day. He was there taking in the events of the crucifixion of Christ. He was beholding the spectacle of that great historic day. He was taking it all in. He was following, he was watching, he was looking, yet perhaps he was disconnected. You know, he didn't intend to get involved. He didn't come there with a purpose of carrying that cross. He didn't intend to be personally involved in the events of the day. He thought he was just coming to watch, to look. You know, sometimes people come to church like that. They don't intend to be the pastor. They don't intend to preach a sermon. They don't intend to be a part. They didn't come to be involved. But he was given an unexpected cross that day. The cross was laid upon him. He didn't mean to be drawn into history. His intention was just to watch. He was just curious. He didn't want to be a radical follower. He didn't come for that purpose. After all, what was going on that day, that was not his cause. It was the cause of Christ. Jesus is the one that they're coming against. Jesus is the one that's being persecuted. He's the one that's been found guilty and being put to death. But it was Simon that felt the weight of the cross that was put on his shoulders. He didn't expect it. He didn't come for that purpose, but yet it was laid upon him. As he carried it with Jesus, something happened to him. I'm sure that cross had the blood of Jesus Christ on it. They had tore him up. He was bleeding and he was carrying that cross. And now Simon is carrying the cross. And of course, you would think that there was the blood of Christ that was still on that cross that he was now carrying. He was carrying the cross of Jesus Christ and the blood of the Lord was already upon it. Simon felt the weight of that cross upon his shoulders, and as he carried it with Jesus, something happened to his spirit. Somehow, when his eyes looked upon Jesus, the blood that was dripping from his body, it became his cross. The unexpected cross became an unexpected opportunity. An opportunity to be drawn closer to the Christ. You see, in my story, every one of us has a story. Every one of us has a powerful witness. Every one of us that have received the gift of the Holy Ghost, we have a powerful story. As a kid, they didn't have a choice. As a kid, I was brought to church, right? That was just what we did. It was just there was no question. Get up, Tommy. We are going to church. There was no choice. You don't even fight it. Just get up, wash up, get dressed, get going. Get yourself to church. That's how I learned about God as a young child. But there came a time that I had to repent. I had to get baptized. I had to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I knew about the truth. I knew who God was. I remember as a backslidden adult sitting in a church thinking I'm a long-haired, hippie-looking, bearded, mustache guy with the bushed-out, whacked-out hairdo, thinking I'm the only guy in this building that even knows who Jesus is. You know, it was right after that, I got back into church. Man, I can't live like that no more. I can't do that no more. I got to get myself right with God. He touched me. He brought me out of sin. He changed my life. His ways became my ways. And you know what? I had to carry my cross. I had to take on the responsibilities that were placed upon me. You know, I did not ask to be a Sunday school teacher. My sister said, come with me to the Sunday school class. Okay. Now I'm a Sunday school teacher. And then a youth leader. And then a deacon. And then as God used me in the kingdom of God, you know what? I did not ask to become pastor. But when God placed it upon me, it's my obligation. It's my opportunity. It's my blessing to fulfill what God has laid upon me. I tell you what, God has things for you. God wants to place on you an unexpected cross. You might not have come here today to have God place on you a burden. But today, God wants you to carry the burden. God wants you to carry your cross, your commitment, your walk with God, your prayer time, your fasting time, your time alone with God, your worship time. Carry your cross. I learned how to carry the cross that was laid upon me. And God helped me. God allowed me. God blessed me. God gave me His strength to be a witness. It was not by coercion. Nobody made me live for God. Nobody can make you live for God. You will choose to live for God or you will not live for God. It's your choice. It's by relationship. You got to have a relationship with Him. Musicians, would you come? I've got to wrap this up. I don't know how pure or impure the thoughts of those that came here today have been. But I do know that God will use anything in your life to help you live for Him. God loves you enough that He could possibly use sickness. He could use tragedy. He could use a broken heart. He could use loneliness. He could use the negative things to get you to see who He is. God, help me. And He will. Or you can repent. You can turn to God. You could pick up your cross and follow Him. You could have a blessed life. You could have peace that goes beyond your own understanding. God could give you power to be a witness. God can pick you up and use you in His kingdom. God can let His glory shine upon you. He is that good. He's able to bless your life. The unexpected cross is an opportunity to get close to God. It is His call that is a higher calling in our life. Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. And they compel one Simon the Cyrene, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. It's another place in Scripture that's telling about the same event. It identifies that this man that carried the cross had sons. It names them by name. History tells us that Simon's sons both became ministers.
Hallelujah.
You see, he walked with God the rest of his life. Holding on to that cross changed him forever. If you will get a hold of the cross that God has for you today, it will change your life from this day forward. It will change the history of your family. Your children can be blessed because of your choice to choose God. I'm so glad I chose Jesus Christ. It changed. You know, there was a time I was stupid and I was drinking and drugging and doing all that ugly stuff when I was a young adult. You know, I could have continued to live like that. But I'm so glad. I wasn't looking for it. I didn't come to church to get it.
Right. Right.
But God laid upon me His Spirit. He gave me a cross to bear. And just by carrying that cross, do what God gives you to do. Do what it is that God wants you to do. Carry the cross that God has for you. It will change your life. All of my kids and 4 children, all of them receive the Holy Ghost. Each of them have kids, and now my kids' kids, my grandchildren, are in the process. Either some have already and some yet to go, but they're in the process of this walk with God. They're being taught about Jesus. Some have been baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost already. It will change the history of your life.
Yes, it will. Yes.
When you carry the cross.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Matthew chapter 10, verse 38 and 39. Everybody stand with me. I'm about to open this altar call. Just read this portion of Scripture. And he that taketh not his cross,
yes,
and follow after me,
Jesus,
is not worthy of me. Verse 39, he that findeth his life,
yes,
shall lose it.
Hallelujah.
And he that loseth his life for my sake,
yes,
shall find it.
Hallelujah.
Your life will be so much better when you pick up the cross, deny yourself, and follow him. Would you lift your hands with me?
Yes.
Would you join me? I'm opening this altar right now as we sing, as we consider the cross of Jesus Christ. He is worthy. Come.